Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Good morning. It's Monday and sometimes Sunday, depending when you're listening to this. I feel like I haven't chatted to you guys since last year. Happy Rosh Hashanah to everyone and wishing you all over well over the upcoming fast this week. We have an epic show, and appropriate that it's fast time. We're chatting with Corinne Mayer, dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor. So let us have your questions for our guest on our in-studio WhatsApp number 061-895-1019. This is an important one because back in the day, I think it was 1860, there was a gentleman, Ludwig Frovenbach, said, "You are what you eat." But I'm a firm believer in your emotional state is how you feel about what you eat.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for joining us today on this Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm chatting with Corinne Mayer, dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, and we're going to be chatting about food, your relationship with food, what is intuitive eating, and really how does diet affect our relationship with ourselves. From my experience over the years, I think there's no greater indication of self-love and self-care than how we feed ourselves and how we feel about food. Corinne, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Nicholas.
So I think let's kick it off with sort of tell us, what is intuitive eating? What does it mean? And what is its fundamental value in the quality of our lives?
That's a loaded question right there. And I think I'm going to keep it simple because like many other words, these terms become trendy and then they almost get a life of their own with many people using it for their own motivations. So I think in essence, intuitive eating is a framework, a grid, to help get you back to normal eating. So if there wasn't any problematic dynamics around food, I think we would not have needed a term such as intuitive eating. It would have just been normal eating. So many people have high expectations of they want to become an intuitive eater or they want to do intuitive eating. And in its essence, I would say it's a journey back to becoming attuned. And even when I say attuned, I it can sound really airy-fairy, and that's not what I mean. It's really something practical to get back to the basics of what normal eating is.
So what is normal eating?
Another loaded question, because I think what has been normalized is so disordered. It's actually what in our work, in our line of work, that's what we would coin or call disordered eating. But it's so normal that no one... people don't get help soon enough because it's just so normalized. So maybe let me say what's disordered eating and then I'll come to normal eating. Let me try and answer you straight. Normal eating would be being, again, in tune sounds a bit airy-fairy, and that's not what I mean. I really mean physically in tune and attuned to your body's signals, and integrate that with your brain signal. So it's an integration between body and brain, where there's not guilt involved. There's some knowledge involved, but it's not based just on outside knowledge. It's a kind of an inside out job. It's coming from within the decisions you make around food. So it's not cluttered. Normal eating is not cluttered with guilt and shame, so that you can actually listen to your body's signals and cues and respond to it appropriately. How does that sound?
No, makes perfect sense. I think, let me preface sort of what I said with the introduction. So I've been sober for 18 years. And within my first week in treatment, one of the counselors said to us that one of the earliest signs of relapse, meaning that you weren't doing the work you needed to do, you weren't connected to yourself emotionally, physically, you were shutting off what you were feeling. And I love what you said about food as well, and I want to go into that. She said, when you start eating your meals standing up, she said, that's the first sign of relapse. That's the first sign that you can see. You may not be able to pick up the emotional signs, the mental signs that are going on in your head because of the noise and the chaos and the stories we tell ourselves. But when you're standing up and eating your food, when you're walking around the house with a bowl, when you're rushing stuff, that's when there's problems. And for myself, it stood me in really good stead to understand that food, I eat what makes me feel good, and I eat less of what makes me feel bad. Meaning that if I have, I mean, one of the things, being an alcoholic, sugar addiction is part of that, and I switched immediately into, within about a year, to eating 650-gram slabs of chocolate on a Friday afternoon as a treat, and realizing then that I was actually getting a sugar hangover and how that was punishing me. So when I stopped feeling guilty about what I was eating and understanding that if I want to feel a certain way, I must eat a certain way. And that really then helped me build what I needed in terms of having energy at 4 o'clock in the morning and still having energy at 11 o'clock and not finding ways to punish myself and prove to myself that I had no worth around what I was eating. But because we have to eat, it was a wonderful way to look at how much prep am I putting into my meals? Am I setting the table? Am I sitting and watching YouTube or television while I'm eating? Or am I focused on my meal? Am I enjoying sort of the textures in my mouth, the tastes, the food? And often when you do that, I find I eat a lot less as well. So sort of that was for me where I came from in terms of saying it's a great indicator of self-love and how you value yourself. When you, it's actually an easy way. It's a simple way, not easy, to start to build that self-love and self-worth.
Yeah, it is a lovely way. I just want to add on to what you're saying. So what you're saying, if you want to give it a fancy name in terms of what you've been doing around food, is you have looked at your attunement disruptors, things that takes you away from listening to your body, like watching YouTube or watching TV. So it's not a sin. In terms of, you know, you feel guilty about it, but it's to be something to be curious about and realize, but if I do this and this, I can't listen. I can't really connect with what my body really needs. So that's what we call it, attunement disruptor. And we want to see how can we enhance that connection. Because we live busy lives. There's so much disruptors in our lives, in just normal things. So where we can we prioritize enhancing attunement instead of disruptors.
With the enhancement of sort of that tuning in to our bodies with the work that you've done, have you found that improving people's quality of life and their relationship with food and with themselves?
Greatly, massively. What many people tell me, and it's not only in my work, I think it's a general thing, it's when they start to become curious about getting to know themselves and their bodies and signals, it really flows over to other areas of life as well. So they get wonderful insights in terms of how they relate to food, but they then also get really skilled to become emotionally aware. Because if you're emotionally aware, you can you realize, oh, I'm actually tired. I feel like I want this huge chocolate, but it's actually just a signal of me being tired. And whenever you are more in tune with your body signals, but also, your signals as a human being, that your needs, the more appropriately you can meet it. So you don't then only meet it more appropriately with food, you also match it more appropriately with your other hungers or needs. Meaning, I realize if I'm actually, oh, this is tiredness, so this is what I need to give myself, or this is, I need some friendship, I need to call a friend or whatever. So it really overflows into all areas of life. I see in my practice, and I'm sure for everyone else who works in this kind of space that I work in, we do see the skills that you get, how useful it is in general life as well.
I think the more connected we can be to ourselves, the better our quality of life in general is. I just want to go to a question from one of our listeners. And then I've got another question which I was sent as soon as I let a friend of mine know that we were having you on. She actually sent two questions. Yep. How does one qualify to be an intuitive eating specialist? That's the first question.
Oh, I have to just think deeply again. I did a overseas certification course with the creators of intuitive eating, Evelyn Tribouly and Elise Resch. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her surname correctly, but Evelyn Tribouly did. We had to go through a quite an extensive course, and then did some what we call supervision sessions with her, working things out practically. And then I think we had to write a sort of an exam as well. And then we certified for a couple of years, and then we have to be recertified.
Fine. So we're going to go to ad break. When we come back from ad break, I'd like to ask you quick for myself, what made you want to get involved in intuitive eating? I think that's fantastic. Let's go to ads and we will be back with our wonderful guest, Corinne Mayer, shortly. I'm getting a sense that this ad break is me. Here we go.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm chattering with Corinne Mayer, dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor. I think like this is a subject that I'm really passionate about because it's given me such incredible value in my life, and also I've seen its benefit for others. I want to know what got you started? What made you want to choose this as a path for yourself?
Well, I had the wonderful privilege to have a wonderful mentor who worked in the disordered eating and eating disorder space. And she actually introduced me to intuitive eating in the sense of, even before it maybe had a name, because all of us working in the disordered eating space, meaning we see the abnormalities that some people think is normal, and we see the result of that. So I think inevitably we then look for ways to I mean, that's part of our job, to normalize eating and having a healthy relationship with food. So I think I've always been working in that space because I see the destruction of the opposite. So when the certification came along, and a couple of us South African dietitians and so on could do it, that made quite a lot of sense to get a kind of a international certification. And but as I said, it really is not an airy fairy glamorous term. It's really about a grit to get people back to having a normal, healthy, robust relationship with food and their bodies. So yeah, this is definitely the line of work that I enjoy. I really enjoy seeing people set free from rigidity regarding food and body dynamics.
I think it's such an important thing. Having worked at rehab centers over the last 18 years and seeing just beautiful young people with so much to offer at any age, really, coming in with these very serious, very bad images of their body, bad relationships with food, willing to starve themselves to death or to eat themselves to death, you know, in either way. And just understanding that when you can switch it back, because for me, I lost about 50 kilos in 3 years when I stopped drinking. And that was just this massive amount of weight that I carried. And then I personally went right down to about 76 kilos. I had a six pack. I had everything physically that we told we should have, but I was incredibly weak. I had no energy. I was getting sick every month. So for me, my good walking around weight's about 103 kilos. I have energy. I have vitality. I don't get injured when I play sport. And it's so important that, and it's a simple way for us to start to love ourselves, because getting sober took me 11 years to start to love and value myself. And I know how I built my relationship around food had a huge influence and impact on that, because it was something that I could manage every day. It's interesting you talk about airy-fairy. The food relationship is probably the most set thing that we can do when we're doing it correctly, where the emotions are, our emotions and how we feel about ourselves are at a level of, or under the control of our emotions and how we feel about ourselves, but the food is food. So absolutely, that's why I'm so passionate about this. I'd like to ask a question for a good friend of mine. She has two. So firstly, Jewish community now, festive season coming up, you know, we're in the middle of it. How does one deal with intuitive eating when you're at a family function? Perhaps there are parents or relatives there that are putting you under pressure. I mean, I spent time in relationships where I was either too fat or too thin. You know, this is what you're getting told at the meal when food's being put in front of you. How do people deal with that? And then, Lossie, what are your thoughts on Ozempic? Two totally different questions. So,
The first one was, if I translate it, is how would a intuitive eater behave around festival seasons?
Yes, that's it. Good, spot on.
I like to discuss this with my clients and tell them, if we let's use the term intuitive eating, it's a set of skills that you learn. And again, it's normal eating skills, basically, how to cope, how to listen to hunger, fullness, how to be satisfied, how to enjoy food, etc. And those skills are, because it's from the inside out, you take those skills with you, whether you're going to Paris or Pretoria, it's a set of skills that you take with you, and it enables you to eat a croissant in Paris with what, you know, I don't know, chocolate. I've never been in Paris, so I would imagine a croissant and chocolate.
Hot chocolate.
You know, very French type of delicacies, and be able to enjoy it fully, but without extra push, and still being able to listen to hunger and fullness. So you'll eat differently, but you'll be able to, you take the skills that you have with you. So in the same way, you take the skills that you have with you into festivities. And yes, of course, there's more pressure and there's often more eating, which is normal, you know, in any society. I think if people celebrate, we eat. If people die, we eat. And then sometimes we fast. But food and celebration is so much part of our society, our normal eater would deal with it. They will take their skills with them, but not be rigid about it. So sometimes a normal eater will eat too much, but the response to that eating too much, I ate too much, whatever delicacy you ate too much of, it's a calmer response. So I don't then have to have a knee-jerk reaction. Okay, I ate too much, now I must go on a diet and then restrict. And then once I can't restrict anymore, oh no, I can't hold it anymore. Now I need to, you know, go to the other extreme. So there's not the pendulum is not swinging from the one opposite to the other opposite in response to a episode or a time where you ate more than you would normally eat. So there's a, in other words, there's a time to just listen to hunger, fullness, satisfaction, and then there's a time, sure, but I never eat this dish. I don't know when my granny is going to be here again and I am enjoying it with her. So it's more of an emotional choice, but it's not a, automatic, meaning it's a thoughtful choice. I'm going to enjoy it. It's not, there's not guilt involved. So I don't eat it quickly. I still enjoy it. And then I feel overfull, but I'm calm about it. Okay. I'm carrying on tomorrow. Person who comes from a disordered eating environment will definitely not be able to do that. There will be a lot of guilt, shame, policing. I need to do better. I need to only eat salads. And then they actually swing to another side of the pendulum. That's sort of how I would think about it. Regarding the Ozempic question, I am not a pro on that because I only see a couple of people on Ozempic. One of the things... I'll mention a couple of things that comes to mind. I think if one is on it, it's really good to do it with a knowledgeable person like a dietitian to make sure that you get adequate nutrition, because just yesterday someone sent me a concerned message again regarding appetite and eating very little, nausea, that sort of thing. That's the one thing. I support people in terms of their choices as best as I can. And then in terms of the big thing about Ozempic in my space that people will, a term that people will often use, and I think it's all over social media, is it lessens the food noise. And interestingly enough, the work that I do without Ozempic, and I'm not saying it's either or, I'm just saying, is helping people to reduce the food noise and what I say, the food clutter. Because if the food space is cluttered and noisy, it is very difficult to listen to body signals. So many people say they feel that food noise is lessening for them if they are on something like that. But in the work that I do practically, but with people, we also work on lessening the food noise. And even in terms of the intuitive eating principles, a lot of what we do is helping people to decrease food noise or clutter, as I call it, and help them to listen to their body signals. But that's about all that I can say with intelligence about that. It's not my main focus.
Okay, thank you so much for that. I think my understanding from that is, like, you may be in Paris queuing for a famous croissant and the queue is too long and you want to get to the Louvre and you go, okay, we're going to leave the croissant and go to the gallery without that urgency and anxiety around having to get the croissant and that type of thing. So it's the comfort around the food, and nothing in the moment is life changing or going to destroy what you've built and worked on. Thank you. Karine Meyer, thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. We have our next guest coming on as well, intuitive eating counselor. Really appreciate it. Absolutely love this talk. Thank you so much for your time and thank you for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you.